Today is the fourth day of the month of September. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I am Brian. It is wonderful to be here with you today. Another step forward is always a good thing. It's great to have a place to gather here around the global campfire. Safety together. We can really kind of put our guard down, let everything go, open our hearts. We're just here to allow God to speak through His Word and to take another step forward in it. And we're currently working our way through the book of Ecclesiastes and the wisdom literature and allowing ourselves to engage with it, knowing that it's not going to spell everything out. It's going to invite us and give us language for wrestling with ourselves and with the things we catch ourselves doing, and inviting us to ask why. What makes that valuable enough to exchange it for our lives? So, let's dive in today. Ecclesiastes chapters 7, 8, and 9. A good name is better than fine perfume, and the day of death better than the day of birth. It is better to go to a house of mourning than to go to a house of feasting. For death is the destiny of everyone. The living should take this to heart. Frustration is better than laughter, because a sad face is good for the heart. The heart of the wise is in the house of mourning, but the heart of fools is in the house of pleasure. It is better to heed the rebuke of a wise person than to listen to the song of fools. Like the crackling of thorns under the pot, so is the laughter of fools. This, too, is meaningless. Extortion turns a wise person into a fool, and a bribe corrupts the heart. The end of a matter is better than its beginning, and patience is better than pride. Do not be quickly provoked in your spirit, for anger resides in the lap of fools. Do not say, "Why were the old days better than these?" For it is not wise to ask such questions. Wisdom, like an inheritance, is a good thing and benefits those who see the sun. Wisdom is a shelter, as money is a shelter. But the advantage of knowledge is this: wisdom preserves those who have it. Consider what God has done. Who can straighten what He has made crooked? When times are good, be happy. But when times are bad, consider this: God has made the one as well as the other. Therefore, no one can discover anything about their future. In this meaningless life of mine, I have seen both of these: the righteous perishing in their righteousness, and the wicked living long in their wickedness. Do not be over-righteous, neither be over-wise. Why destroy yourself? Do not be over-wicked, and do not be a fool. Why die before your time? It is good to grasp the one and not let go of the other. Whoever fears God will avoid all extremes. Wisdom makes one wise person more powerful than 10 rulers in a city. Indeed, there is no one on earth who is righteous, No one who does what is right and never sins. Do not pay attention to every word people say, or you may hear your servant cursing you. For you know in your heart that many times you yourself have cursed others. All this I tested by wisdom, and I said, I am determined to be wise. But this was beyond me. Whatever exists is far off and most profound. Who can discover it? So I turned my mind to understand, to investigate and to search out wisdom and the scheme of things, and to understand the stupidity of wickedness and the madness of folly. I find more bitter than death the woman who is a snare, whose heart is a trap, and whose hands are chains. The man who pleases God will escape her, but the sinner she will ensnare. Look, says the teacher, this is what I have discovered. Adding one thing to another to discover the scheme of things, while I was still searching but not finding, I found one upright man among 1,000, but not one upright woman among them all. This only have I found. God created mankind upright, but they have gone in search of many schemes. Who is like the wise, who knows the explanation of things? A person's wisdom brightens their face and changes its hard appearance. Obey the king's command, I say, because you took an oath before God. Do not be in a hurry to leave the king's presence. Do not stand up for a bad cause, for he will do whatever he pleases. Since a king's word is supreme, who can say to him, "What are you doing?" Whoever obeys his command will come to no harm, and the wise heart will know the proper time and procedure. For there is a proper time and procedure for every matter, though a person may be weighed down by misery. Since no one knows the future, who can tell someone else what is to come? And no one has power over the wind to contain it. So no one has power over the time of their death. As no one is discharged in time of war, so wickedness will not release those who practice it. All this I saw as I applied my mind to everything done under the sun. There is a time when a man lords it over others to his own hurt. Then, too, I saw the wicked buried, those who used to come and go from the holy place and receive praise in the city where they did this. This, too, is meaningless. When the sentence for a crime is not quickly carried out, people's hearts are filled with schemes to do wrong. Although a wicked person who commits 100 crimes may live a long time, I know that it will go better with those who fear God, who are reverent before Him. Yet because the wicked do not fear God, it will not go well with them, and their days will not lengthen like a shadow. There is something else, meaningless, that occurs on earth. The righteous who get what the wicked deserve, and the wicked who get what the righteous deserve. This, too, I say, is meaningless. So I commend the enjoyment of life, because there is nothing better for a person under the sun than to eat and drink and be glad. Then joy will accompany them in their toil all the days of the life God has given them under the sun. when I applied my mind to know wisdom and to observe the labor that is done on earth, people getting no sleep day or night, then I saw all that God has done. No one can comprehend what goes on under the sun. Despite all their efforts to search it out, no one can discover its meaning. Even if the wise claim they know, they cannot really comprehend it. So I reflected on all this and concluded that the righteous and the wise and what they do are in God's hands. But no one knows whether love or hate awaits them. All share a common destiny. The righteous and the wicked, the good and the bad, the clean and the unclean, those who offer sacrifices and those who do not. As it is with the good, so with the sinful. As it is with those who take oaths, so with those who are afraid to take them. This is the evil in everything that happens under the sun. The same destiny overtakes all. The hearts of people, moreover, are full of evil, and there is madness in their hearts while they live, and afterward they join the dead. Anyone who is among the living has hope. Even a live dog is better off than a dead lion. For the living know that they will die, but the dead know nothing. They have no further reward, and even their name is forgotten. Their love, their hate, and their jealousy have long since vanished. Never again will they have a part in anything that happens under the sun. Go. Eat your food with gladness and drink your wine with a joyful heart, for God has already approved what you do. Always be clothed in white, and always anoint your head with oil. Enjoy life with your wife, whom you love, all the days of this meaningless life that God has given you under the sun. All your meaningless days, for this is your lot in life. And in your toilsome labor under the sun. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. For in the realm of the dead, where you are going, there is neither working nor planning nor knowledge nor wisdom. I have seen something else under the sun. The race is not to the swift, or the battle to the strong. Nor does food come to the wise, or wealth to the brilliant, or favor to the learned. But time and chance happen to them all. Moreover, no one knows when their hour will come. As fish are caught in a cruel net, or birds are taken in a snare, so people are trapped by evil times that fall unexpectedly upon them. I also saw under the sun this example of wisdom that greatly impressed me. There was once a small city with only a few people in it, and a powerful king came against it, surrounded it, and built huge siege works against it. Now there lived in that city a man poor but wise, and he saved the city by his wisdom. But nobody remembered that poor man. So I said, wisdom is better than strength. But the poor man's wisdom is despised, and his words are no longer heeded. The quiet words of the wise are more to be heeded than the shouts of a ruler of fools. Wisdom is better than weapons of war. But one sinner destroys much good. Second Corinthians 7, 8 through 16. Even if I caused you sorrow by my letter, I do not regret it, though I did regret it. I see that my letter hurt you, but only for a little while. And now I am happy, not because you were made sorry, but because your sorrow led you to repentance. For you became sorrowful, as God intended, and so were not harmed in any way by us. Godly sorrow brings repentance that leads to salvation and leaves no regrets. But worldly sorrow brings death. See what this godly sorrow has produced in you. What earnestness, what eagerness to clear yourselves, what indignation, what alarm, what longing, what concern, what readiness to see justice done. At every point you have proved yourselves to be innocent in this matter. So even though I wrote to you, it was neither on account of the one who did the wrong, nor on account of the injured party, but rather that before God you could see for yourselves how devoted to us you are. By all this, we are encouraged. In addition to our own encouragement, we were especially delighted to see how happy Titus was, because his spirit has been refreshed by all of you. I had boasted to him about you, and you have not embarrassed me. But just as everything we said to you was true, so our boasting about you to Titus has proved to be true as well. And his affection for you is all the greater when he remembers that you were all obedient, receiving him with fear and trembling. I am glad I can have complete confidence in you. Psalm 48. A song, a psalm of the sons of Korah. Great is the Lord, and most worthy of praise, in the city of our God, his holy mountain. Beautiful in its loftiness, the joy of the whole earth. Like the heights of Zephon is Mount Zion, the city of the great king. God is in her citadels. He has shown himself to be her fortress. When the kings joined forces, when they advanced together, they saw her and were astounded. They fled in terror. Trembling seized them there, pain like that of a woman in labor. You destroyed them like ships of Tarshish, shattered by an east wind. As we have heard, so we have seen in the city of the Lord Almighty, in the city of our God. God makes her secure forever. Within your temple, O God, we meditate on your unfailing love. Like your name, O God, your praise reaches to the ends of the earth. Your right hand is filled with righteousness. Mount Zion rejoices. The villages of Judah are glad because of your judgments. Walk about Zion, go around her, count her towers, consider well her ramparts, view her citadels, that you may tell of them to the next generation. For this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even to the end. Proverbs 22, 17 through 19. Pay attention and turn your ear to the sayings of the wise. Apply your heart to what I teach, for it is pleasing when you keep them in your hearts and have all of them ready on your lips, so that your trust may be in the Lord, I teach you today, even you. Okay, in 2 Corinthians, we come to this passage, and this is the 20th year, right? So this is the 20th time we've come to this passage. And I don't know when it first hit me, but a long, long time ago, every time we come to this passage, it strikes me because of the word sorrow. Because sorrow, I mean, that, I guess, throughout my life has been, you know, a darker and a negative word, something to try to avoid. What does the word sorrow mean to you? What does sorrow, that word, bring up in you? What kind of feeling is associated with that? Is it a positive or a negative emotion? Is it something we should seek out? Is it something we should avoid? Something to endure? Something to embrace? Or maybe it's just something. It's just something. I don't know anybody. I've never met anybody. I can't look in the mirror and say that I or anyone I have ever met wakes up in the morning thinking, you know, if I can find some sorrow, I'm like looking for sorrow today. If I can find some sorrow on purpose, it'll be a great day. Also, though, myself included, don't know anybody that has never experienced sorrow. And sorrow comes in lots of stripes and flavors. Loss, betrayal, disappointment, unexpected misfortune, deception, all kinds of reasons that we bump up against sorrow sometimes and have to kind of deal with what it does to us inside. And like I said, I've always kind of considered it dark and like distressing a way to feel. And Paul, the apostle who writes this letter, we've spent enough time with him at this point to know that he's not confused about suffering. Oddly, he does make a distinction about sorrow. What he says is, the kind of sorrow that God wants us to experience. Can we just stop there for a second and go, hold on. Hold on, let me take that on board. Right? The kind of sorrow God wants us to experience leads us away from sin and results in salvation. There isn't any regret for that kind of sorrow. But worldly sorrow that doesn't have anything to do with change or repentance results in spiritual death. So there is a kind or a type of sorrow, a regret, grief that leads us to a crossroads and an opportunity to change, to repent. And Paul is saying we should experience those feelings of sorrow and regret when we find ourselves wandering into what we know is wrong and are just trying to justify it. It should be disappointing. It should feel like regret and loss. It should cause distress. When we walk into the darkness with our eyes wide open, then we should experience the weight of what we are doing and the consequences of the choices. Because we are willingly, with eyes wide open, causing damage to ourselves and those around us that are closest. And we are interrupting a process. Paul describes a process called sanctification. This is a process that is day by day, step by step, just like what we do here every day. Day by day, step by step, being made holy, which means day by day, step by step, being set apart to God. So when we willingly interrupt that process, then we are betraying our source of life, which is not good, which is not healthy, and we should regret it and feel sorrow. Paul said that type of sorrow leads us away from the darkness and results in salvation. This sorrow, then, is an awareness that we are running, that we are running away from God, and we are running away from what is right. Maybe in shame, maybe in fear of exposure, maybe just in desire, maybe all kinds of reasons, but we are running instead of running to God. We are running away from God. And that should bring a sense of deep regret that makes us reflect on the choices we're making and the decisions. And that, according to Paul, will lead us to change, to repent, which means we're changing our minds about everything we're doing and not running away, but returning to God with everything. Like with everything, no matter what happens, no matter what shame, no matter what exposure, we are coming clean. We are getting into the lights. And that kind of sorrow leads us to God. And so maybe just a little reframe of what sorrow, like what its role is in our experience, is a good idea. Nobody, like I said, nobody gets up in the morning and thinks, I'm going to get there early so I can be first in line for sorrow today. I don't want to have to wait for it all day. I want it to be all day long. How do I get to the front of the line to get my sorrow for today? But when it does come, instead of avoiding and running, maybe we can ask, what is this about? Where is this coming from? Am I running from God when I should be running to? Am I hiding when I should be returning? Because sorrow reminds us that we are desperate and we need God, and we're promised that He can and will forgive us, and that He can and will heal our broken hearts. So, Father, we invite You into that. Reveal to us, Holy Spirit, how we are running away when we should be running to You. How we are hiding when we should be in the light. And all of the disruption and the angst that swirls inside, that becomes anxiety, depression, and every dark force that we can experience when we engage in avoiding the sorrow that leads us to repentance. Lead us into all truth. The truth about sorrow. And the truth about the things that we're choosing that are going to bring consequences of sorrow, of sorriness and regret that can be avoided if we do not run away. Holy Spirit, come. We ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. DailyAudioBible.com. That is home base. The Daily Audio Bible app is home base. Check it out. Be connected. Stay connected in any way that you can or that you want to. The community section is where to get connected on social media, or that's where the prayer wall lives. It's also important as we take this journey through a year together. We're spending a year together every day. Just kind of stay connected to what's going on. This is the 20th year, so we're celebrating that every single day. Like, this is the 20th fourth day of September. Man, just this week, just a couple days ago, Jill and I came on and we announced a brand new project here in this 20th year that we have been dreaming of for many years now. Our first ever children's book. It's called The Breathing Prayer, a little prayer for big feelings. And as we shared, the whole story comes directly from our lives, especially from the life of our son Ezekiel, and just kind of separation anxiety that he experienced in his early school experiences. He was so excited. He had been, like, we've been all over the world, and Ezekiel traveled all over the world as a baby. And so he's been in all kinds of situations, and I kind of grew up that way, and I've just learned through a lot of therapy in the last few years just how complicated that was. How unique and interesting and exciting to have been all over the place, but how difficult it is to be in a different situation continually with people that you do not know and to not actually have real roots and grounding. So Ezekiel, I mean, his young life, we were all over the world, but he started school and we got grounded, and staying in one place a lot. And he was so excited about it, but just a series of things happened that we talked about. That whole talk is on Tuesday. You can go back and listen to it the 2nd of September if you haven't yet. But just a bunch of different little traumas turned into kind of a traumatic separation anxiety for Ezekiel in his youth and as a little boy. And the breathing prayer kind of came out of some of that as a response to some of that, as a way to get grounded. And it's been a part of our lives ever since, even as adults. And so it's not just for kids. It's very simple. It's so simple that a kid absolutely can remember it. But our hope and dream is that it will begin in childhood and last throughout life, because it's just very simply grounding in the chaos of everything to stop, like reconnect to our breath, and invite Jesus. These just very, very, very small micro moves can truly change the atmosphere of a situation. And so we dream this up. It's beautifully illustrated with Ezekiel as a little boy. And Jill just did a really, really fine job of kind of crafting the narrative. And then we kind of polished it off together. And it's beautifully illustrated. It's legit. We love it. We are grateful for it. We're excited about it. And if you have kids, especially if you have little kids, and I hope this can be a part of of your collection. If you have kids, you probably have a collection of nighttime storybooks and stuff like that. And a major collection of toys and all of the associated things. But hopefully this can be a part of that. It's beautiful. And it really has a meaningful story, but actually meaningful practice that can last throughout life. If you got grandkids, you can grab one for every one of your grandkids. Buy five, get one free is how we have it set up right now. We signed the first 500 copies, so the first 500 copies that are going out, and I think those are going to be gone by the end of this week. They're signed. Ezekiel and Jill and me, we sat down and signed them together. So grab those while you can. And even if you're an adult, the breathing prayer is a grounding, meaningful way to get back in touch with what's going on and become present instead of full of anxiety and angst about the future and overwhelmed with the destruction of the past. Just become present in the here and now. So check that out. It's in the shop at dailyaudiobible.com. Or if you're using the app, you can get to the shop from the app as well. And so check it out. If you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible, you can do that at dailyaudiobible.com. There is a link on the homepage at dailyaudiobible.com. If you're using the app, you can press the Give button in the upper right-hand corner. Or the mailing address is P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. And as always, if you have a prayer request or encouragement, you can hit the hotline button in the app, which is the little red button up at the top. Or you can dial 877-942-4253. And that is all for today. I'm Brian. I love you, and I will be waiting for you here tomorrow.
Hey, my sweet, sweet Dab family. How are you today? I hope you're doing good. This is Asia calling from the City of Angels, and it is August 27th, and we have some prayer requests, of course, continually, as one person lights a log and we continue to put more logs on the fire and continue to sit alongside our brothers and sisters, holding them up, bearing their pain, and rejoicing with them at all times, just like the Lord tells us to do. Heavenly Father, we come before you, a mother from SoCal called in regarding her son Christian. Lord, you know Christian's an incoming freshman, an athlete, and just so excited to play high school football, and he suffered that fractured knee injury, Lord. And Father, we know he's so disappointed, as his family is, and we know, Lord God, that you have a plan for him in this season, and we pray that as he trusts and believes and rests his knee, that you would continue to mend it and heal it and put back all the things that need to be in place in your knee to work properly, and that his knee would work well again for him. And Father, we pray that you would give him more interest in this season and new people in his life possibly too to encourage him, Father God, especially young people of faith to encourage him in the way of Christ. Father, we also lift up Larry from Iowa, who called in regarding his grandson, Brian, who is a wild child and a firefighter. This 27-year-old single man who is a man of faith, a profession of faith for many years, Lord, we are so thankful, and we are thankful for his service. So we pray that you'd keep him safe and cover him, that he may return from his work when he's finished. In Jesus' mighty name.
This is Dr. John in Illinois. This is just a note of encouragement to Larry from Iowa, praying for his grandson, Brian. Brother, just want you to know that you touched me today because I'm a grandpa, but all of us out here that have grandkids, yeah, we worry. We're not supposed to worry, but we do. And probably even in older age, there's nothing more precious to us than our grandkids. And more than that, the desire for them to know God and to be safe, that God protect them and keep them. So, brother, be assured that there are a lot of us listening, and a lot of us heard that. And I can hear in your voice your maybe a little anxiousness, but the love for your grandson. And so I just want to encourage you, we're listening. There's a lot of us listening. And I'm praying even now, Father, that you protect our children. And I've seen so many things happen, Father, that you alone have provided for. You alone love our children more than we do. So, Lord, we just yield them up to you. And I stand with my brother Larry right now and with all the other grandma and grandpas that love their children and desire them to know you and that you'd protect them and keep them that someday they would look to you. And, Father, I'm grateful for this family, for the DAB that stands, prays for each other, that loves on each other. But we share our hope, our joy, our misery, our failures. But, Father, you hear everyone, and I'm grateful. I'm asking these things in Jesus' name for his sake.
Good morning, good day, and good evening, Daily Audio Bible family. This is Timothy in East Tennessee, Vision of Hope and Healing. I just wanted to call in regarding a sister who called in who admitted that she's been not such a nice person. She admitted to having problems with alcoholism, infidelity, short temper, and just not being the person that she wants to be, not liking who she is. And as many things as you need right now, sister, you need encouragement, you need love, and you need prayer, but you need salvation. You don't need a forgiveness moment. You are in a stage of repentance. And the very next thing that you achieve when you repent is salvation. And so I'm just praying for your salvation. And as soon as you accept that salvation, you accept all the forgiveness that Christ died for you to have. He's so willing to forgive you of everything that you've ever done that he died. And so I just wanted to call, pray. I'm praying for you and encourage you to accept that salvation. Ask him into your heart. Ask him into your heart and then search his word daily through the Daily Audio Bible or reading, calling people that you know who are believers or texting. Get on a text chain with believers who are able to encourage you daily and help you stay in God's word. I'm praying for you, sister, and I love you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hi, Daily Audio Bible. I have to be honest, I've been in and out of this very much for the last 2 years, but have been following this community for a while before that. Today was really appropriate for me because I literally feel like Job. I don't understand how I was so blessed, and now in so many ways my life has been ravaged by a man who's basically been a wolf in sheep's clothing. And I am relating so much to how much he was abandoned and thrown away by friends and family, and how nobody could handle the depth of the grief. I feel very much like that downcast person, and I am looking deeply for God's wisdom to show up, and yet I hear nothing. So I ask, as I am finishing my last mediation next Wednesday on the 3rd for divorcing my husband after 24 years together, 22 years married, that you would, that the Holy Spirit would come and give me wisdom, and that I would begin to heal after I have lopped off my gangrenous arm and learn how to live with so much that I thought I would have for the rest of my time here on earth. And I pray that God would help me in my grief. And I ask that you would come alongside me.
Hello, beloved brothers and sisters. This is Blessed Peacemaker Patrick from Seattle. I cannot thank you enough. I have a praise report. My friend Julie, that I asked you to pray for, before she went into surgery, she had several tumors that were so big that they were taking up her entire internal abdominal and thoracic cavities, every bit of space. Her blood markers were extremely high for cancer, and in the scans, they saw black cancerous cells and were highly concerned. But God. When the surgeons went in, they removed the tumors. One was the size of a grapefruit, and the other one the size of a large cantaloupe. And there was no cancer. I refused from the beginning to believe that there would be any cancer, and I prayed against that, and my prayer was that the doctors would be confounded and unable to explain it, and that's exactly what happened. The doctors simply said, well, we can't explain this because there should have been cancer. We saw it on the scans. We saw it in the blood work. But God. And this difficult event definitely has been used to glorify him. So I thank you. And in your prayers today, thank God for that glorious thing that he did and the works of his wonderful hand. I love you all.
Hey, Cece from PA. This is your sister, Ashley, from California. And today is August 28th, but I heard your prayer request on August 23rd, and I also heard God's Life speaker speaking to Tammy from the Central Coast of California, and it encouraged me, and it sparked something that I wanted to say because my heart just broke when I heard you call in. It is not too late. It is never too late. God is there with you, and he loves you, and he sees it all. He knows it all. You're in his hands, and you calling in to ask for prayer is showing that the Holy Spirit is trying to tell you that he's thirsty and that he needs the water. He needs the bread from the word, and he needs you to join in the community. You're not alone. And we are going to be praying for you, sister, to be finding the support you need so that way you can turn away from the things that are hurting you and that you can repent and change your mind and change the way that you're thinking and change your words and your actions so that way you will be a different version of yourself. You will be somebody that knows that you are loved and that you have the capability to serve others and love yourself. I'm going to be praying for you, Tammy, Cece, and Tammy, I'm praying for you, and thank you, God's Life speaker, for inspiring what I could say. Love, your sister Ashley from California.